Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If I could have some help passing out the registration books, or they may already be passed out. If they are, we just ask that you register your attendance. And if you're the first one to sign the book, please put the date and the time, 10:15, up in the upper right-hand corner. We'd like to ask you to take time to look at the announcements that are printed in your bulletin. There's quite a few activities going on this week. I know the bazaar is this coming Saturday. Sherry, do you have anything to say about that? Deborah, I think you've got a special announcement. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation? Any other announcements? One thing I forgot to do, I'd like to recognize any first-time visitors we have with us this morning. Is there any first-time visitors in the section to my left? Anyone? Middle section, any visitors? Section to my right. Yes, sir. Very glad to have you. Good to have you.
I think that's it.
Okay. Any other announcements?
Number of two inserts in the bulletin I call your attention to. Love Loaf, Bethel College Day. Just remember both of them.
Okay, we'll move on to our prayer list. If you'd like to add a name to the prayer list, you can write it on the index cards in the pew in front of you and drop them in the offering plate. And we'll also take any spoken prayer requests from the congregation. Do we have any this morning?
Very
Anyone else? Larry? Any others? Anyone else? Well, in preparation for worship, we ask that you bow your heads for silent prayer and the lighting of the candles. Amen. Worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. We shall dwell in your house forever, O God, and seek to live upright and blameless lives in Christ Jesus, our God.
Come, dwell with us. Hear our glad praises as we enter your sanctuary. You are worthy of all glory your children can bring.
Good morning. Let's all stand and turn to page 17 in your hymnal, Ye Servants of God.
Ye Servants of God, your Master proclaim. And coming abroad is wonderful name. The name of Victoria, of Jesus is Lord. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over all. God rules.
As we go to God in prayer, thinking today in terms of the servant, being a servant of God, our role as a servant, our collective roles as servants. One thing that we're invited to do is proclaim our Master. Speak His name. Lord God, as we come into Your house today, we come apart from the world. We come to be in Your presence. And Lord, we know that You're everywhere, but we know this to be a special place. A place where we're surrounded by people of like thinking. We're surrounded with depictions of Your ministry. We're surrounded with Your Word. And we're surrounded with friends. Thank You that we can come into Your sanctuary to worship in truth and in spirit. Lord, You have promised when even a small number are gathered in Your name that You will be with them. Lord, we just thank You for that promise in Your presence. Lord, speak to us that we may speak not only in this place, but when we have gone forth into the world. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And as you're being seated, allow me to mention Friend Day next Sunday. Hopefully you have already invited a friend and got one committed to be with you. My friend even came today, and one that I had invited, and I trust that he will be back next week to let me introduce him specifically as my special friend, but I have about three or four friends that I have invited, and will even get them a letter and a phone call this week to say, hey, will you be my friend? Don't forget to be my friend next Sunday. We know that some people in the congregation came first on Friend Day, and they're still here and still doing the work of ministry through the church. And it's a good day. It's a good day when more than one will be inviting new people, and we can introduce them all. If you see somebody next week, be sure that you mention their presence or recognize their presence. One of my friends is here this morning, and he's written a book, Mr. Sheffield, and Mr. Sheffield's on the back here. and he's going to have his book displayed, and it's a book of sermons, and he didn't mean it to be a book of sermons. He wrote it as a book about his life experiences from when he was a little boy in South Alabama, and he's going to have his book available at the bazaar. We've mentioned the bazaar, and we welcome Mr. Sheffield this morning to be back with us. He's been with us before, and he has got a great ministry in the community, a helping ministry. And some of you have been with us on Wednesday night. We've talked about being a helping ministry, but he is also has a proclaiming ministry and a writing ministry. God bless you, and welcome, Mr. Sheffield. Thank you.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, and it's also projected behind me. Please join me. I believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
hymnals to 448, A Charge to Keep I Have.
A charge to keep I have, while God's glory by, I never die. So to say, and bid it for the sky, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my heart engage to do my master's will. Watch again, as in thy sight to live. And now thy servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray, and still be right. Oh,
our call to confession this morning comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Please join me in unison with the confession. God of all peoples, hear our confession and forgive our sin. Jesus came to reconcile our differences, yet your people do not dine at one common table.
heal our divisions, and enable us to overcome our hostility.
Unite us in the bond of your encompassing love.
Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Luke chapter 5, verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." If Miss Andrew would come and the children would come down, it's children's time, and remind you that there will be no children's church today.
If we have new children, they may want to come. It's okay for the parents to come with them and sit with them if they want to. Okay?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I didn't know we could do good today. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Yesterday, I went horseback riding with some new friends that we've met up in East Tennessee. And we went way up in the, I guess you'd just call them big hills, but not really mountains, but way, way, way. I mean, it was way, way, way. You could climb and climb and climb it. And on the way up the trail, we came across, there were seven of us riding. We came across a herd of goats and these two great bearded herd dogs that were with them. And they had them all tight together, and they were protecting them, and they kept them away from us. And I thought, hey, that was really neat to see that. And we went all up the hill, way up into the hills, you know, and we're riding along, and the first guy that was leading us had stopped and got off his horse, and he came over to the fence, and there was a billy goat hung in the fence. And when he first got to the billy goat, of course, you know, billy goats have horns, and this one has horns like my goat's butt, just go back against his chin like this, so, it's, you know, there's hundreds of acres to eat. This little goat decided that the grass had been a little better on the other side of the field, and he stuck his head through. And then when he decided to get back, he had his head straight, and guess what? Since he didn't get his head sideways, he couldn't get it out, and the horn took on the fence, but there he was. He was hooked. And this was a wild goat. And this guy, I watched him, he was as patient as he could be, and he, in his East Tennessee, you know, drawl, he said, "I do this once or twice a week when I ride through here." And he said, "I find one hung in the fence," and he kept working with him and working with his pilot. The goat quit struggling. And he was able to turn his head sideways, which the goat had done himself all along, but he didn't know it. And he slid right out. And that little goat took off, running just as fast as he could. You know, the goat catch up with the rest of the goat. I thought about how we're like that a lot of times when we get ourselves in trouble. We just don't slow down enough to think about what we need to do. And what we need to do is give up and look to you for the answers to what we need to do. Remember that little goat stuck in the fence. The next time you get in jail, you probably won't be stuck in the fence. But you could be in trouble some way, or, you know, about to get yourself in a jam of some kind. Remember that if you turn your head sideways and look up, the answer will come to you. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. "For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." Will the ushers please come forward?
bow with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand before you today to thank you for your blessings. Your blessings, they fall down like rain on a parched earth. And we, your people, thank you for those blessings. They quench our thirst. Dear Heavenly Father, we foremost thank you for the gift of your Son, of salvation and forgiveness. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful. We're thankful of the many other blessings that we've heard proclaimed here this morning, and the many others that we see as we go about our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for the material blessings that you've given us. And we ask that we humbly come before you and present some of those material blessings back to you. We ask that you bless them and that you multiply them. And help us, Lord, as we distribute these tithes and offerings to places where they need to go. Help us to understand where they need to go. And we ask that you bless them, that your will be in them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture lesson today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." The word of God for the people of God.
And praise be to God.
You have the outline, and right under the scripture lesson as it's printed, there's probably one change, unless I get lost. But where the fourth line or the fourth and fifth line from the bottom, some would present Jesus, that's out of order. I did the outline before I got my thoughts organized, and so this that will be out of order. That thought will come later. Scripture. Some scripture lessons, parables are so easy to preach from. And some are difficult. Often when I'm reading a commentary, the writer of the commentary, supposedly learned men or women who have studied and prayed and done the background work, etc., and written a commentary to explain a passage of Scripture, they will get to a passage of Scripture and say, "This is a difficult passage of Scripture." Well, to me, this passage that we shared this morning is a difficult passage of Scripture. But if we only take the easy passages, we would miss some important aspects of God's Word. So if we're going to be faithful to the Scriptures, I feel that I have to preach the difficult as well as the not so difficult. So I'm struggling this morning. So I beg your prayers. And maybe God will say something to you in spite of me this morning through this message. But this is a passage about the servant role. Being a servant. And basically the service. When I began to select the hymns, we found hymns talk about the service, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. You servants of God, or ye servants of God, your master proclaim. And then the song after the message. Being a servant. I will serve Him, and I will serve Him. And then even the closing songs. All the songs even are talking about this, and the scripture lesson. And I like the servant role. But before I tell about my love of the servant role, I want to know what you want to be when you grow up. I want to ask my friend John Abel, what do you want to be when you grow up, John? Oh, you thought you had already grown, didn't you? Okay. Maybe somebody younger than that. When you grow up, what do you want to be? I don't think so. I've heard different. You have said different. I'm going to challenge this answer this morning. When you retire, you want to do something else that you're not doing now, though. You want to build cabinets. He learned as a young fellow. He's taking a break now to earn a living, get that girl through school, and then he's going back to retire and build cabinets. Melanie, when you grow up, Melanie's about to grow up, and she finally became what she wanted to be. Well, not necessarily. You're not helping here. You're supposed to go with me, I mean. Okay. But she's loving it. I can tell. She works 12 hours a day instead of the normal 7 that teachers are supposed to work, right? And she'll probably work all summer. Okay. What do you want to be when you grow up? You young fellows, what do you want to be when you grow up? You young children. Some of you probably say, I want to be a doctor. Because doctors drive fancy cars and work in nice hospitals and live in big, fancy houses. Is that right? And that's the goal in many lives. Others want to be a lawyer. Others want to be a teacher. Some want to be a preacher. Some want to be a football player. Some want to be... One of the favorite is for many people when they're about 7 or 8 years old. Do we have anybody here 7 or 8 years old? If I can get your... What you want to be. What do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I need a boy, because this is a boy's job, normally, but not necessarily. So what do you want to be when you grow up? 2 7-year-olds. A nurse? A teacher? A mother? Tell me, help me out. A singer, okay? That's not a servant role, but it may be. It may be a servant role, okay. Yeah, I think so. Anybody else? What do we want to be when she grows up? What do you want to be when we grow up? A teacher, okay? Some want to be that. Some want to be a banker. Some want to be an accountant. Where'd Bob end up? even had a chemist wife and made an accountant out of her, I think, you know. She wanted to be in a, she was an accountant at heart. Is that right? H-A-R-T as well as H-E-A-R-T, okay? She married Mr. Hart and got to do, I better leave that alone. And who wants to be a garbage person? Anybody? Nobody chose that one. Do you know, if we didn't have garbage people, we would be in a mess. Literally. Guess what? If your garbage person did not take the garbage off, that's me at my house. Who is it at our church? Who's our garbage person at the church takes the garbage off? Volunteered for it. Volunteered for it. He can teach. He can teach. He can preach. He can do all kind of electronic stuff. He even trained to send people to the moon and bring them back. But he volunteered a servant role. If it wasn't for somebody taking off our garbage, this yard would look like a garbage dump. Because we create a lot of garbage around here. Recently, I'm maybe spending some time on this, but Pete Mosley and I have been going to the county dump way out on Pinewood Road. It would even smell bad if all the garbage was left around here. I mean, it's terrible. So, it's a servant role. But so is a teacher. So is a preacher. So is a... Anybody want to be a football player? Maybe that's not a servant role, but you got to obey somebody. You got to do what the coach says. Many, many dreams that we have, most all of these, maybe the football player, maybe the singer wouldn't be, but you're singing for somebody, if it's for God, if just singing for God, for His glory. That's the servant, being the servant of God. Servant roles. Most of the things that we do in life are helping other people. Helping other people. And anytime we're helping other people, that's a servant role. And I just see John, the other John sitting up here, and he got a new job, went to work for the city, and I stopped one day and I said, John, are you a... Can I tell this? Okay, it's good, it's good. I'm halfway through it now. I said, John, are you a public servant now? And John said, Larry, I'm a dedicated public servant. Is that right? Absolutely. Still is, you know. And so you're helping people. You're helping people get up and down the road, get the signs, keep the city neat. And oh, they're out there all the time. Helping people. Leanne Graham. Did anybody read the Nolensville dispatch? Leanne was a fireman. Young fireman, I guess she's barely 18, was interviewed this week. They said, the last question was, why did you want to be a fireman? And I wrote it down, just like it was printed. I get satisfaction from helping others. I get satisfaction from helping others. An 18-year-old, Scott, worked with a volunteer fire department. Got satisfaction from helping others. He likes to dress up in that uniform, too. And those big old boots and that hot coat that you put on. I did that a while. But satisfaction from helping others. And don't most people like to help other people? Don't we? So we kind of want to be a servant. Last week, Jessica Tucker spoke for the young people, or as the young people representative. And she spoke of serving others. She spoke of this as being one of the, I think she used four things, but one of the things that makes God happy when we serve others. Her scripture lesson, you remember? Do you remember what it was? John chapter 13. And this is where Jesus met with the disciples the night in which he was betrayed and washed the disciples' feet. It's also the same night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, met with them, the disciples, for the last Passover meal that he would have with them. And then they instituted the Lord's Supper. And that's part of our service today. And he got before the disciples and washed their dusty feet. You remember that conversation between him and Peter? So Justin spoke of this. And that one of the things that make God happy. I like the servant role. I've preached about the servant role. I think I've encouraged the servant role, maybe more inwardly than I have outwardly. I like the servant role sometimes. Sometimes I don't like it. I like it under certain conditions, and I like to describe those conditions. The scripture today is about the role of the servant. Jesus talked here about the servant, but he talked often about the servant. You can review the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and find reference after reference to the servant in the kingdom of God. God being the landowner, he talks about a landowner leaving servants in charge. He talks about a servant being given a sum of money by a master and going and investing that money, and one did not. But that's just two mentions of Jesus referring to disciples being servants. I don't like the servant role sometimes. And when I really don't like the servant role is when a person I am serving is a real demanding person. Recently, Susan and Carol Simpson and the Bennetts and some more got involved in a little situation, and we were trying to be servants. We were trying to help this lady. And before we got the service offered, it became demanding. And when people start demanding that I be their servant and do it their way, if I'm trying to help them, I kind of back off of that one, and Carol does too, and Susan does too, and I still got recorded. I saved it. Maybe I should forget it, but I saved it. Had a voicemail, and I saved it to show others that I was really telling the truth. The person called me up and said, "Well, we need to get on with this. I'm getting tired of waiting and not knowing, you know, and hurry up, and I don't want to go there, and I'm going to go there." And we were trying to provide a place to stay. And I really reacted to that, possibly, very possibly, in a unchristian way. And, we're not perfect. That's no real excuse, though. But I backed off and said, "Lady," I called her back. I said, "Lady, you know, I don't help when I'm being badgered. I don't like it. I'm doing all that I can." And that was the busiest week of this year for me. And Carol Sundell, I went and worked 2 days to get a place ready for her, and then that kind of fell through, but well, that was okay. And then she called demanding that we do something quick. And I said, "Now, wait a minute here, lady." So there are some times, I say all this to confess, that there are some times I don't like the servant role. When the demands are coming, and, you know, "You will do this." And that's when Larry has a little problem of being the servant at that time. I like being a servant or fulfilling the servant role when I am not under compulsion. When I'm not under compulsion. Or when I'm not being forced to do something. I like serving when I want to serve and not because I have to serve. I like to be the servant when I can be the servant, not because I must be the servant. And I'm not sure I'm just exactly right in that, but that's, I'm just more or less opening up and confessing this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Now, our offertory sentence was the last part of verse 8 and all of verse 9. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 9. But go back to verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about giving. And I'm taking what he said about giving and translating it to our service, our offering of our service. He said, "Let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart." Are determined in his heart. As you have, your heart tells you to do, let us, each one of us, do as we have purpose in our heart, not grudging or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I give cheerfully if I'm not forced to give. If I'm forced to give, I give grudgingly. I don't know if I give much when I'm forced to give it. Right? And I'm not sure I like that about myself. And if I need to change, where I need to change, let's not say if, where I need to change, you pray that I'll be able to do that. Now, as I said, this passage was written not under compulsion, was written concerning our giving. And they were trying to raise some funds for a particular project that some more people that were in straits, kind of like the people down on the coast, I guess, are needing help and funds now. But I believe it fits. I believe it fits, this passage fits, when we're talking about our service. Today's lesson, if you go back to today's lesson, finally get to the scripture lesson, today's lesson describes, I think it describes, or what I understand to be, the true servant-master relationship. Now, have you ever been in a true servant-master relationship? A slave, or an indentured servant even, a servant for a time? You know, so you can earn your passage to America or something of that. Many people did that. As presented here, the servant is just that. He's a servant. And some passages, or some translations of this passage, refer to him or call it a slave. We're a slave. So in this passage, the servant is just a servant. He serves, or she, he serves, and he serves some more. That's what he's for. That's what he does. In this passage, there's plowing. An agrarian society, agricultural-based society, and they probably plowed behind let's say they didn't plow in a air-conditioned cab of a John Deere. That's not plowing, not what we're talking about. Mr. Sheffield probably plowed behind a mule. Did you ever plow behind a mule, Mr. Sheffield? Who else did? John, did you? Now, you were from... are you a city boy or a country boy? Never plowed behind a mule. Okay. No. Paul Campbell, you plowed behind a mule. No. How much could you walk in a day? I think...
I tried to stay 3 steps behind
a mule. Oh, good. But... if you plowed all day long, in about 30 minutes or 40 minutes, well, at a pretty good pace, we can walk 2 miles. We're doing that so many mornings a week. So, all day long. David, how long did you walk? How far did you walk when you plowed behind the mule? You did a little of this, right? Okay. But if you plowed... I know John didn't. But we plow, and it's walking all day long, as fast as the mule can plow. Now, Charles has got this, you've got the cab with the air conditioning. Does it have an air conditioning?
Not anymore,
but it did have. We need to fix that. Okay. But this servant in the story here, he plowed all day. He got through, he came in, and he couldn't rest. You know, my stepfather plowed all day behind the mule in my early days, and then he'd come in and stretch out on the porch while Mama cooked supper. That wasn't the way it worked. In this parable, he plowed all day. He came in. The master said, "Fix my supper." The master didn't go and prepare the meal. He had to prepare supper, and not only that, the master wouldn't even go to the stove. We'd have to go to the stove to serve yourself, right? The master wouldn't even do that. He went to the table, and the servant had to go and serve him. So he served by plowing, and he served by preparing the meal, and he served some more by serving the meal. And I guess he had to clean up the dishes, don't you guess? You don't think the master said, "Well, I'll clean up those dishes now and take out the garbage." Oh, he had to serve. It was serve, 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 serve. And I say this is a true servant-master relationship. Sometimes, let me back up. And when the Scripture says, Jesus said, when the servant has done all of this, he's only done his duty. Nothing to be congratulated about, nothing to be patted on the back about. That's what he was supposed to do. Probably might not even get a thank you. Went off to Bethel College yesterday. They had awards after awards. Luncheon I went to had about 4 awards. Another luncheon down the hall had some more awards for the athletes. If they had done well in life and served well, but we recognize them. That's not a true servant-master relationship. These are friends honoring friends, basically. But in this relationship, when you've done all that you're supposed to do, that's your duty. You've just done your duty. No room. There's no requirement for a pat on the back. It's good to have it if it happened to come. Sometimes church people forget that. And sometimes we need to remember that. I slaved, and they didn't appreciate it. Or the worst thing is, I slaved, and God didn't appreciate it. Some people have said that. We forget that. We forget that we are servants, servants of God, and servants of Jesus. And some people even carry this thinking so far, and it's been preached more than it should have been. Some people have come to believe, basically through bad preaching, I guess, that Jesus is their personal errand boy. He's not. He does come to minister to us, but he is not to be called on every time we want something. Lord, give me a parking place. Lord, I don't want to walk 5 extra steps to the door of the store. Lord, send me some money. Lord, give me a nicer pair of shoes or whatever. Please don't expect Jesus to be your personal errand boy. That's not His purpose. He's our Savior. What Jesus is calling us to do is to be willing to be a servant in God's kingdom, or to be a willing servant in God's kingdom. God is the Master. We are His servants. And as Jesus being God in the flesh, we are the servants of Jesus. But Jesus did something really wonderful for us. You know that? So we see ourselves as servants. It's a good place to see ourselves. Jesus took the servant role to a higher level. Jesus Himself, being God in the flesh, being the Creator, come down to earth. Jesus identified with the servant. He did this, we find in John chapter 13, where He bowed down before the disciples and washed their dirty feet, the dust. He identified with us as servants. And He says in Matthew chapter 20, I believe it's verse 28, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Our translation of that, I came not to be served, but to serve. He said He came to be the servant Himself, identifying with our servant role. But then He went a step further. Seemed like Jesus never quit elevating His people. He never quit encouraging His people. He never quit lifting us up. So we're His servants. We're God's servants. We're the creation. But He identified with us by becoming one like us. And then, going a step further, John chapter 15, verse 15, He says that He will no longer call us servants, but He'll call us friends. Friends of Jesus. Jesus has lifted us up, has He not? We start out as servants. And then He comes and identifies with servanthood. And then He comes and goes a step further and makes us His friends. Friends of Jesus. We happen to have a church in Sherwood, Arkansas, close to Little Rock, out in the suburbs. They named it friends of His. And everybody knows who His is. Who the His is. Who we're friends of. Friends of His. Jesus did it. He wants us to be His friends. He wants us to be more than servants. He wants us to be willing workers. And a friend truly will help a friend. To me, that sheds a greatly different light on our relationship with Him. When He has elevated us to His friends. To His friends. And while He still can or could demand of us, if He so choose, and be right in commanding of us, I see Jesus as giving us opportunities. Opportunities to serve Him. Opportunities to serve in His name. I see Him inviting us to join Him in His service to the world. Inviting us to join Him in His work in the world. I see Him working through us as He comes and indwells us at our invitation. And then we become His hands. We become His feet. We become His mouthpieces in the world. Opportunities to give. We can go to that. Back at the Madison Church, we would have offering envelopes in the bulletin. And sometimes it would be one this week and one next week and another one next week. And some people would say, but you're always asking for money. No, we were not asking for a penny. We were putting an envelope in there and we were giving you opportunity to make a contribution to that particular need. And I can reflect back on some of the needs. This week, it's Bethel College Day. The Cumberland Presbyterian College. McKenzie, Tennessee. They believe Cody Duncan is going there. He's hoping to play football there. They even beat Lambeth last week, if you know anything about Lambeth. Lambeth is a Methodist school down in Jackson. We're the Presbyterian school up in McKenzie. They were kind of rivals, you know. We didn't even put an envelope in this week, see. If you want to give to Bethel College, you just have to put it down on your check, right down in the corner where it says memo. Or we'll find you an envelope. Next week, we'll have promotion for Memphis Theological Seminary. That's Seminary Sunday. And as always, when we promote these, it's opportunity, not a demand, opportunity to make a contribution. And if it ever sounds like it's coming as a demand from me, please come and say, that sounded too demanding. I may argue with you a while, but I want to offer it as an opportunity. Working through us, Jesus. Now, how do we become His friends? It's through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is another word for believing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him or believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life in fellowship with God and with Jesus. Belief is another word for trust. It's trust in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. The one who died to pay for our sins. And He says He'll save us. We're going to sing a song now. And it's about committing ourselves in service. And I believe it's 446. I will serve Him. But the first step in serving Jesus is to become a disciple. Or as He said, I no longer call you my servants, I call you my friends. So become a friend of His. As we sing this song, a Gaither song, stand together and sing. We will give you opportunity to make a public affirmation of your faith and trust that you want to be a friend of Jesus. And you can do that by coming here to the altar and meeting with me, and we'll pray together. 446. Please be seated, all except the active elders. The active elders will join me here in the altar area. And then, Lewis, if you will join us and John, you're close. Yes, we need you, John. Both Johns, both Johns.
Yeah.
Well, we got one too many. That's okay. Better to have too many than not enough. Okay. Words of institution. These are words that show us where Jesus instituted the supper. He met with the disciples in the upper room on the night in which he was betrayed. And while he was there, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And he invited them to eat up. Then he took the cup, offered thanks, and gave it to them, inviting them to drink of it, explaining to them that this was representative of his blood, or this is my blood, he said, shed for the remission of the sins of many. He gave his body, his blood for us. What a servant he was. Now, with those thoughts, Savetta is going to play a meditative piece on the organ. And just think of Jesus giving his body, his blood, to redeem us from sin. You're a friend of Jesus. You're invited to join him in a meal, remembering how much he loves you, remembering his sacrifice for you, remembering his servitude on your behalf. Yes, on our behalf. Let us pray. Lord God, for the bread that represents your broken body, broken for us, we offer thanks. Praise be unto you, O God. Thank you for giving of yourself for our redemption through Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, for the fruit of the vine, representing your shed blood, blood that
was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you would give your life that we might have life eternal. Through Christ Jesus. Amen. Elders, serve the people. People, eat and drink as friends around Jesus' table. Thank you.
join me in singing number 379, another song about being a servant. Take my life and let it be. We'll sing verse 1.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in this life and in the life to come. Amen.
Better. that was y'all who were doing that now. I didn't realize y'all were doing that now. Yeah.
Good.